Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. Please tune again each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message from truth. We also invite you to our website, churchofchrist.harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files. You'll also find a variety of study aids that can help you in your study of God's Word. There's Bible videos on various subjects that are 30 minutes in length, and there's a host of other things that can help you in your study of the Word of God. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our worship periods and Bible study periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We only want one thing from you, and that is we want you to come and worship God, see the need for God in your life, and to have a relationship with His Son who died for you that you might have eternal life. The last 2 weeks, we have been examining the subject, a nation stained with blood. And we have looked at abortion from the statistical, the legal aspect, the definition, and what the things that the abortionist activity does not tell us and hides from us when we have this discussion of the right or wrong of having abortions. Today we begin to look at where life comes from. We begin in Psalms 139, verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and they my soul knows very well. In chapter 139, verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. In Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, verse 2, thus saith the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. In Isaiah 44, verse number 24, thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, he who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by itself. In Jeremiah chapter 1, at verse number 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nation. In Job 31, in verse 15, did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one fashion us in the womb? In Job chapter 10, and verse 18, why then have you brought me out of the womb? Oh, that I had perished, and no eye had seen me. In Psalms 127, verse 3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. We have clearly shown in all these passages that life begins at conception. It is a gift of God. Life is a gift from God. It is something He gives us as a gift. That gift should be received and appreciated and nurtured. But what are we doing with it? We're just aborting it for a nuisance and an inconvenience. It places us under the judgment of God. In Exodus chapter 21, 22 and 23, if men fight and hurt a woman with child, so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished according as a woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life. Killing the unborn was life to God. He decides, not men. Men don't decide what life is. God decides. And when life is taken, then life is called upon for taking an innocent life. There's an underlying problem here with abortion. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unhomely. These attitudes are wrong, and they cause wrong attitudes about life. They're not just wrong attitudes, they cause wrong attitudes about life. In Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than the lovers of God. I want you to focus on the subject of unloving. Unloving means without natural affection, unnatural feelings towards life. This is why people can kill an unborn child without conscience. It's a fetus. It's not a life. It's not a person. It's something that just is an inconvenience. It's just tissue. It's not really a life. That's how they try to spin the argument. In Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Even though Israel had done great wrongs and hurt God deeply, he never stopped loving them. This is true of all men. Yes, they do evil, but God still loves them. But the underlying problem with abortion, there is an unnatural unloving of life because it's not looked at as life. It's looked at as simply being tissue. In Psalms 106, verse 37 and 38, they even sacrifice their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the lamb was polluted with blood. Israel had a great sin, sacrificing their children to the false god Molech, killing the innocent, thus filling the land with innocent blood. How can our country claim that they have not followed the same evil example of the past? We have shed innocent blood. That is the fact. That is the truth. No matter how much they want to run from it, no matter how much they want to change the dialogue, no matter how much they want to change the definitions, this is exactly what has been done. We have devalued life and we have shed innocent blood. Our sin is great. Today, millions of sons and daughters are being sacrificed to the idols of humanism, selfishness, and greed. Our nation has become polluted with blood. Plain and simple. How do we deal with abortion? We are a nation, guilt and depression, but our conscience has been seared. It's not a political issue. It's never been a political issue. It is a moral issue, an issue that God determined a long time ago, and we should be ashamed of the way that we have treated. What is the most dangerous place to live today? In the womb. That is the most dangerous place to live because that life can be taken without any conscious thought for that life. For that life and what it could be, it can simply be removed as an inconvenience and it can be snuffed out under the disguise that it's legal, that it's a woman's choice, and she has the right to do it, and no one should violate her right. But you see, there is an alternative. There's an alternative to abortion. It's called adoption. The Evan B. Donaldson Adoption Institute tells us that the number of infants available for private adoption in the United States has been decreasing every year. The factors which have contributed to this change are increased access to contraceptive, change in social attitudes about unmarried parenting, and the biggest reason is the legalization of ending the life by abortion. Between 1989 and 1995, 1.7% of children born to never married parents, white women, were placed for adoption. Compare this to 19.3% before 1973. In 1970, there were 89 200 new adopted parents. In 1975, the last year for which such data is available, the number was cut almost in half to 47,700. The reason for the decline was due to the fact that few U.S.-born infants were available for adoption. Only 2 to 3% of the more than 1 million teenagers who become pregnant this year will place their children up for adoption. I was born on May 2, 1954, to parents who were young. My mom was 17 and having difficulty just making ends meet. An unplanned pregnancy? What if abortion had been legal then? What if you could have ended a life then? Could that option have been available? And society would look on it in a favorable way. Ladies and gentlemen, what we need to understand, and what I want you to understand, is that God defines that life begins at conception. And life begins, and when life is taken, that is a serious issue with God. When men shed innocent blood, God does not take a dim view of that. That is something that's very serious to God. And blood for blood, throughout God's history, in his book, life is precious. It should be treated as precious. It is something that is sacred, and it should be treated that way. Unfortunately, we have changed the debate. We have changed the debate because we have made this a political issue. So they try to change definition. They change terminology. They try to soften what it is. But understand that nothing will soften what it is. What it is legalized murder. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what God, how God looks at it. And the one that is unrepentant of the one that does it will answer to God for it. There's one other thing that I want to end this part, and we will finalize this discussion next week. The one thing I want you to think about is the mothers who are not told what will happen after they have this procedure. After they have this procedure and years down the road when they marry or when they begin having children and they go through a pregnancy process and they realize what they did and they realize what travesty that they had taken a life. They have many, many emotional problems because now they realize they had killed a life. But you see, that's not told. Those kind of things are not told to the person that is seeking abortion. It's just a way of getting the inconvenience out of the way. And so it doesn't burden down the rest of your life. But they never tell them about the emotional scars that will be left as they try to proceed through life. One of the things that was done a few years ago that never came to the floor of our Congress, that the Congress wanted that every woman who wanted an abortion had to first go through an ultrasound. They had to hear the heartbeat of that baby before they determined to abort it. But that bill never saw the floor of Congress because that's not what people want. People want the right to end an inconvenience. And so Roe versus Wade continues to the shame of our nation and to the innocent killing of millions and millions of lives.